Sit back and relax. Let Russo and Rizzo take you home.
Oh, mercy!
Light him up, Colin!
Packed football slate this weekend. Week 5 in the NFL. Week 6 in college football underway this weekend alongside some Division of Series baseball. It's Russo and Rizzo live here on ESPN 106.3. Mike Rizzo for a change behind the glass. Colin Russo here, presented by our pals over at Hard Rock Bet. Well, now you've seen the first few weeks of football season play out, it's time to try your first bet on Hard Rock Bet. Maybe you like Miami, things haven't gone as like you'd expect. You don't win your first bet on Hard Rock Bet, you get up to $100 back for a second chance. That's what they got for you. Each game, you can bet on touchdown scores, passing yards, other stats, total points, who will win, so much more. You can also bet on college football. The MLB, they got you covered on every sense. If you don't want to bet a ton of money, you could try a parlay. The more bets you combine, the more your potential payout is. In week 1, a Florida bettor went 16 for 16, picked every winner on the NFL slate in a parlay. $15 bet, $104,000 in winnings on that.
Could you use $104,000?
It's just an unfathomable amount of money on a parlay, but that's what people can do on Hard Rock Bet. Hard Rock Bet also shows you the popular parlays, the props, the picks that other people are betting from across the app on the Discover page. You can tail any trending ones in just a few taps. All you got to do is get started, is download Hard Rock Bet on the App Store or Google Play Store, or go online to hardrock.bet. Once again, if you try Hard Rock Bet now and you get up to $100 back in bonus bets, if your first bet does not win, it could be a parlay, it could be a prop, it could be an over, it could be whatever you like. You win the first bet, or you get the same amount back paid as a bonus bet. Go try Hard Rock Bet today. It's offered by the Seminole Tribe of Florida. Must be 21 plus and physically present in Florida to wager. Terms and conditions apply. Concerned about gambling? Call 1-888-ADMIT-IT. Like, an interesting one, for example, here. Five-bet parlay, plus 4,000, essentially.
Wow.
James Cook, Derrick Henry, Breece Hall, Tyreek Hill, and CeeDee Lamb. Anytime touchdown scores. $10 to pay over $400.
Do you want to know which one's not going to hit on that one?
Who's that?
Tyreek Hill.
Probably not. With New Tyreek England, Hill. We got New England there,
too. Yeah.
Minus one. We're going Patriots in a shutout.
Hey, Kyle, we locked it. We locked it in.
New England minus one.
I'm not as cool as C-Cat. I don't have the sound that he usually plays, but.
All righty. Interesting. Let's get into our matchups of the week that we like. I'm going to start with our intriguing matchup of the week. Mike, I want to get yours.
I went back and forth on this. My intriguing week is Ravens and Bengals. I think this is a game where the Bengals could put their foot in the sand and go, yeah, might have started 0-3. But we're going to beat the quote-unquote, one of the hottest teams in the league in Baltimore. You know, Baltimore started 0-2. They're now 2-2. And it's a road game. Cincinnati's back in what they call the jungle. So I got to go Ravens and Bengals. Joe Burrow versus Lamar Jackson. I think it's heavy division implications going into this game as well. I think the Bengals need to right the ship. And what better to do it against a division rival? For my intriguing matchup, Kyle, give me Ravens and Bengals for that reason.
Really? Okay. I'm going to go with the Packer game at the Rams.
You love the Rams.
I love the Rams.
And
I love Stafford. I love Stafford. I love McVay. I just love what they got going on there. They got nobody playing. They got a high school team with Stafford and McVay, and they're trying to churn together a couple wins here. McVay's usually good after a loss. Packers coming off a tough loss, too. On the road here, the Rams enter a bye after this week. Teams that are entering a bye, usually, like Fat Jack of FatJackSports.com told us, traditionally play really, really hard going into the bye and usually play pretty well. So ultimately, I think that the Rams are going to come out and play tough, but it's an intriguing matchup just to see what type of Ram team you get. It seems to be back and forth if they're going to roll over and die, if you have the right type of Rams game that day, and how the Packers are going to respond after a tough loss against Minnesota. They had a terrible start. Jordan Love, another week. Maybe he could get a little more healthy.
Should they have started Malik Willis last game?
Probably not.
You don't think so?
No, that defense would have swarmed him. No. At least Love responded in a big way. That's an interesting one to see how the Packers respond there. Let's shift on. Mike, your statement win of the week, who do you got? What's your pick?
My statement win of the week is going to be Bills over the Texans. I think the Bills have a bad taste in their mouth after getting bamboozled on Monday Night Football. I think Josh Allen is going to have a real big game as well. Give me Bills over Texans. Now, C.J. Stroud and D'Amico Ryans, I like what they got going on there. I think this is one of those games where the Bills go, we're still one of the top dogs in the AFC. You know, Kyle, we talked earlier in the show about who, like, in the NFC and the AFC are teams that are going to be trifled with. Obviously, in the AFC, we mentioned Kansas City, and then I mentioned Buffalo. Could you see the Texans emerging throughout the year as a team in the AFC where you go, man, we don't want to run into them?
Maybe. The way I look at the Texans is, I alluded to it earlier in the year when we were talking about Houston, was, are they going to suffer from a little bit of that sophomore slump?
Right. And CJ, I think, I mean, they're 3-1.
3-1.
I think
it's an ugly 3-1, but it's 3-1 nonetheless.
It is. And I think CJ could have played better, but well, all that matters is putting wins up. You know, Stroud on the year, I say he could play better, Colin. 1,054 yards, 6 touchdowns, 2 interceptions.
Yeah, and those 2 interceptions came against Minnesota.
Yep. And now he's been sacked 13 times, though. It's kind of a lot. 13 times?
It's more of a sophomore about the team. This is the second year the team's really in the mix here. Can they continue to stay hot? I don't know. And the Bills are, that's a great matchup. I think that's probably the game of the week.
And I think the statement is that Buffalo, they're going to right the ship after getting embarrassed by Baltimore. And that more or less, Buffalo's kind of look at them and go, you still got a little bit of ways to go. We're proven you're not.
I like that. I think the Bill. I agree with the idea that I think the Bills are going to play pretty well there. In terms of my upset of the week, if you want to count it, we're going to count it just because of how poorly they've played. We took it, Dallas, at Pittsburgh. That's no easy game. Sunday Night Football, everybody's ready to write off Dallas. I think Dallas is going to play well here. And I know the Steelers are coming off a loss. They're going to be motivated. But I think after that long week, there's a lot of talk about Dallas, of course. They squeaked out that win against New York in that god-awful Thursday Night Football game about 10 days ago or 8 days ago. I think the long week's going to help them. I think Dallas could play pretty tough on that Sunday night game. I got them. If you want to count them as an upset, I mean, in a lot of ways, everybody knows Pittsburgh's got their flaws.
Yep.
But I think people are out on Dallas, and I think they're going to make some sort of statement this week.
You want to know why they're out on Dallas? I mean, the defense gave up 44 points to Baltimore. They gave to New Orleans. They gave up 28 points to Baltimore. Now, they played well against the Giants, but it's Daniel Jones. So, like, what if the Dallas defense...
They were good in the red zone.
Yes.
They were good in the red zone.
I agree there. But the reason I like Dallas in this game, Colin, is because I think their front seven... I know Micah Parsons, you know, banged up, whatever. But I think their front seven is going to be able to disrupt Justin Fields. I'm not buying, and I guess maybe shame on me, you know, being a Buckeye guy. I'm not buying the Justin Fields stuff. I'm not buying it, Colin. I'm not buying their quarterback situation. I think they have a gimmicky offense.
Yeah,
they can't run the ball.
Yeah, you just
they
buy,
can't run the ball.
You buy that defense. That's
right.
You buy
Watt, and we call it what? Yeah, you know.
Just that the primal defense they have.
The animal that T.J. Watt is. But no, in all honesty, like, fair play to Artie Smith. Fair play to Artie Smith, the offensive coordinator for the Steelers, in a sense of he's not letting Fields make mistakes. And guess what, Colin? It has him at 3-1. So maybe they do a little bit of more of that. They do more of the same where they're not going to let him throw downfield and make the interception.
Steeler fans are happy with where they are. They're more than happy.
Steeler fans are calling in drunk to the show. Remember, what was it, a week ago we had intern Colton's buddy calling drunk to the show and, you know, wax poetically about Justin Fields.
Be careful. You don't want to get Colton in trouble here, but yeah.
They're all bought in. They're all bought in.
Yeah, they are. And I give them credit, 3-1. But I think Dallas is in a position here to make a bit of a statement. Upset side of things. I mean, you could count that Dallas one for me, but I might have another one in store. Mike, do you have an upset watch of the week?
You know, I went back and forth on this.
Are you going to say you're Browns?
No, I can't. I think we're going to get smoked. I think the Browns get smoked just because you don't have an offense. And Dan Quinn, a defensive-centric coach, Colin, I think he's going to have a plan for Watson and the Browns' misery. We have the worst. And we went from having the best offensive, excuse me, the Browns. I keep saying we. The Browns have had one of the best offensive lines in the league for the last 3 years. Now we have like the worst offensive line in the league. So I think Dan Quinn's going to have something ready for Deshaun Watson.
The New York Giants?
No, I am going to go. I guess it's not much of an upset, Colin. I'm going to go Giants over Seahawks.
I like this, too.
I'm going to go Giants over
Seahawks. That's my pick.
I'm not sold. I told you I'm not sold on Seattle. You're high on Seattle.
I think Seattle's good. I just think the Giants are going to play well. I like this long week they had. I they didn't convert anything in the red zone, but they didn't have that many problems driving
the
ball.
Now, what's the status of Neighbors, though?
Yeah, it's Neighbors, and Singletary is banged up, too. But for some reason, the Giants are going to travel across the country. Give me that on an upset watch.
Didn't we take that? Did we take that?
Yeah, we did. Yes, we did. We took that. I think we did.
We're on the Giants and the Cowboys.
It's the plus 6.5-point trend. We're finally jumping out of the trends. Now the trend's going
to
fall.
Are we listening to Fat Jack?
We're listening to the trends. Yeah. I like theme more than trend, but I'll ride the trend along with the theme. Here's the theme. Banged up. A lot to play for here. Coming off a hard-fought Thursday night football loss that was ugly. Give me that long week. Seahawks on a short week here. Coming back after their first loss of the season. Blueprints out a little bit on that. At least attacking that defense. Watch here's your theme. The Giants got a lot to play for. That's the theme.
Are they borrowing some mojo from the Mets?
The New York mojo, I like
are
that.
Are they siphoning?
I like this.
Colin, are they
the
siphoning?
New York, the thing is, it's the Jets. The Jets are the Mets. The Jets and the Mets.
Do they have some witch coven siphoning some of that magic on over to the West Coast this weekend?
Yeah. Kate Chumsland, ESPN West Palm's very own, or basically a reporter at this point, texted me and said that Malik Nabers is out. My pick does not change. I didn't realize
that's
that.
Why
I didn't realize
Thank
they announced
you,
it. That, I didn't realize they announced
Thank
it.
Thank you, Cade. I knew it.
The
Colin,
Mets we're mojo.
Done. We're
go,
done.
The Mets mojo would go to the Jets, and the Mets finally got some mojo on Monday.
Colin, we goofed.
No, we didn't.
We don't have Neighbors. We're done. That's
we're okay.
That's
they targeted him too much anyway.
What do you
too
mean?
Too many eggs in one basket.
Who's
the ball?
Who's your best receiver after that? Sterling Shepard.
He's on the Buccaneers.
Brother,
he scored last night.
Sterling Shepard.
No, he scored last night.
I'm trolling, Colin. I'm trolling. I don't know who their second receiver is.
Wandale Robinson.
Oh my God. Who? I've been pulling Snoop
mojo,
Dogg here.
Theme.
Who?
Mojo. Theme.
Oh.
The Mets mojo really kicked into gear last Sunday. It really kicked into gear when they had to get into that game 163. Or not 163, but they had that doubleheader. That's when the mojo hit. That was after the Jets played that god-awful game at MetLife.
Daniel Jones.
The Jets might upset the Vikings. They might tail off that mojo. I'm into that. I like this. I might change my pick. This is going to be a big week for New York. The Yankees are going to win. The Mets are going to ride on that mojo.
God.
Kodai Senga is going to knock off Zach Wheeler.
Take that, Otari.
You're going to see the Jets dominate Europe, and they're going to take down the Vikings in London. And then you got the Giants going to Seattle and taking them down. I like this.
Am I going to be... What time's that game? What time's the Giants and the Seahawks game, Colin? Is that 3?
That's got to be a 4 o'clock game.
Am I going to be seeing Daniel Jones look like a dying gazelle out in the plains ready for a lion to pounce on him? Is he going to be running for his life against that Seahawk front seven? No Neighbors?
Theme. They spread the ball to. They gave the ball to Neighbors too much. He led the league in receptions He led the league in receptions by like I think it was 10 receptions over Nico Collins.
Dude, he's their 10 whole targets. Offense.
Spread it out. They don't know where they're going to go. This is like Kodai Senga coming in for the Mets and starting against the Phillies. You don't know where they're going to go. You don't know what this is going to be.
I know what it's.
That's the Giants' offense. This weekend against the Seattle Seahawks.
Is Saquon suiting up, right?
Yeah, Saquon.
We're screwed, Kyle. We're
okay.
So done.
We're okay. I think Singletary's out, too.
Oh, my God.
So, there's a theme here. I found it. The theme is, with the Mets, Kodai Senga, little splash factor. Where are we going to be? What team is this going to be? How are they going to play? Giants, similar situation. Long week, little bit of a banged up, no neighbors, maybe no Singletary. This is going to be a fascinating weekend of New York sports. I like this. Giants and Jets both to win.
And then, and then the Bills to beat the Texans.
Yeah.
Because they're technically New York. Right? I know people.
It's going to be a big week for
New
York.
They're technically New York, right? Yep. A lot of people are liking the Cardinals on the road for some reason.
Yeah, I'm not in on that.
Neither am I.
I think the Niners are getting gradually a little bit more healthy. But I agree. The Cardinals probably need the game. You don't need to fall behind. But I have a tough time seeing the Niners drop down there.
Colin, when are they going to fire somebody in Jacksonville?
I don't know.
Does that have to get to?
I would have fired.
You got to lose
probably four more
games?
Not even that. It's probably halfway through the season. I think the writing's on the wall, but I think they're just going to wait till halfway through the season. It's hard to put an interim head coach there and make him coach 13 games.
Correct.
So and if you're going to make him coach 8-9 games, maybe get a feel.
Are they just going to punish Doug Peterson and make him finish the year? That's the more I heard you talk about it.
You're punishing everybody else at that point, too, because all the media hates him. He hates all the media. All the fans hate him. They don't want to deal with him. Lawrence hates him. You're just punishing everybody else.
Lawrence hates him? Is that...
Lawrence is a good guy. He's a really upstanding. He will not say a wrong thing ever. Lawrence does not like him. He just will never say it. The writing's on the wall.
There's no possible upset for the Jags over the Colts. That's a winnable game, dude.
Maybe. And they're wearing their throwbacks.
And the Jags.
They're wearing their throwbacks from the 90s. The one with the Jaguar on the side ocean blue.
Yeah, I like that.
Really nice.
Oh, can we call that an aqua? I think it's safe to say we could call that an
whatever.
Aqua.
I don't have a color palette title in my head, but.
It looks like would you call it the golf blue?
No, ocean blue.
Ocean blue.
A turquoise-y.
So you're going to call me crazy. I grew up visiting the Gulf side of Florida my entire life. My mother originally.
That's a Midwest thing. Yeah,
The Gulf. We go to the Gulf. And mother is originally from Treasure Island. That side of the ocean is that color. I believe it or not, those Jags jerseys from those years in the 90s, that's the color of the Gulf. Rather, the Atlantic is more blue because it's deeper.
Yeah, that giant the Jaguars debut in that colorway from the 2000s and the
90s. So they're trying to pull their inner Fred Taylor.
I think this is a distraction, trying to keep the team keep the fans and the media off their back.
Mark Brunell.
I think they're trying to keep the team off their back, everything off their back a little bit. And all right, here's a distraction. Here's the circus of the New Jerseys. Enjoy it. We'll make some ticket sales on it and enjoy it. Russo and Rizzo live here, ESPN 106.3. A college slate that is highlighted by a couple interesting Big Ten games, but a lot of teams on bye, shaping up for a huge week next week. But we're going to go through that slate next, see what picks we like. If there's any upsets in store, is Miami, have they gotten their bad game out of the way? We continue and touch on that a little bit more. Russo and Rizzo live here, ESPN 106.3.
Live from the Anajar and Levine Accident Attorney Studios. Anajar and Levine Accident Attorneys. Call 1-800-747-FREE. This is ESPN 106.3. Let's get back to the Anajar and Levine Accident Attorney Studios. This is Russo and Rizzo on ESPN
106.3. Rolling on here, Russo and Rizzo, ESPN 106.3. Colin Russo, Mike Rizzo. Behind the glass for a change. No C-Cat. He will be doing high school game day tonight. Dr. Joaquin Garcia playing host to Wellington 6:30 kickoff. You can catch myself doing the pregame of ESPN West Palm High School game day presented by HSS, supported by Smith, Ball, Baez, and Prather.
Got a guest tonight, man. I'm here, too.
Yeah, Mike's going to be in the studio with us.
If you're watching on YouTube, man, I just changed into my comfies, dude. I'm ready to go.
He's going to be in the mix there.
We're having a sleepover.
Yeah, it's going to be a long night.
Colin, we're having a sleepover.
It's
going to
be a long one. But high school game day, stay tuned for that immediately after the show today. And it should be a good one between Joaquin Garcia and Wellington. It's Russo and Rizzo live here. Big college weekend that is highlighted, but not necessarily the Bamas and Georgias of the world. But the Big Ten has a lot of big games. And you got a team like Michigan State going at Oregon this weekend.
Tonight.
That sounds like a Big Ten. That's saying that's a Big Ten matchup just doesn't sound right. And then, of course, the ranked matchup that everybody wants to talk about this weekend is Missouri at Texas A&M. And Missouri's interesting because Missouri's sort of that fringe out of the top bubble SEC team that's sitting there coming off a bye undefeated. But I don't think people really know where Missouri is right now. It's a matter of where do they lie. Ole Miss lost last week to Kentucky. Mizzou is sinking there thinking, all right, that fourth spot in the SEC is sort of up for grabs after the Bama, Texas, Georgia. Can Missouri sort of slot themselves in there with a win at Kyle Field?
I think so. And speaking to Missouri fans before the year, you know, I knew a couple of them in Peoria, Kyle. They said if they don't make the college football playoff in the 12 teams that the season would be a letdown. And I was shocked by that. Now, they put a lot of stock. Missouri fans have put a lot of stock in winning that ridiculous bowl game where the Buckeyes started like fifth stringers in. But they have had some, you know, we talk about theme and mojo a lot on this show. Missouri football has had the theme and the mojo since the end of last college football season. Now, I wonder if Drakovich can, if he could figure it out on the road at College Station. But Colin, I don't think Texas A&M should be ranked. I don't think they're very good. I think they're ranked because, number one, the Notre Dame bias and college football bias for Notre Dame is trying to skew that into a good win for the Fighting Irish. But I think Missouri wins by about a touchdown in this game.
Really?
I do.
So you think they're going to win easy there? Or at least easy enough?
I remember we talked about it when we picked our punchline picks last
night. Missouri almost lost to Vanderbilt, and Vanderbilt had every chance to beat them 2 weeks ago.
Yeah, but Vanderbilt, I think we're learning Vanderbilt isn't the Vanderbilt of years past.
Pesky.
They're at least they're not a good football team, but you at least got to respect them now.
Pesky. Diego Pavia, the quarterback, the New Mexico kid. I think that was a pesky game. I was at Missouri too. I give Vanderbilt credit, but Mizzou has got a chance today, tomorrow that is, at A&M. And it's not the hardest SEC matchup in the world. They got UMass Amherst the week following that. So this is the game that's circled on their schedule.
Can I give you a game?
What's that?
I think Michigan might struggle for a couple of quarters at Washington.
It's not an easy travel day. Yeah.
And I think I respect Rutgers. I think Rutgers football is pretty good this year under Schiano.
Rutgers is underrated. And so is Indiana, and they got at Nebraska. That's one of the good games of the weekend.
Yeah, and Washington was in that game in New Jersey against Rutgers. They only lost by 3. And then Washington State, you know, I know they lost last week. They got blown out. But Washington State 24-19, Washington loses that rivalry game. I always question, right? I always question if you have a quarterback that is inept of throwing the ball and you're going to go into hostile territory, like Washington's going to be up for this game. They're going to have their fans there and they're going to be going crazy. What orgy are we going to see in this game? Are we going to see the orgy that is going to run the ball and game manage and dink and dunk down the field? And Colin, I can even argue he can't even dink and dunk down the field.
Yeah.
If you see a Red Grange-esque kind of game plan by Michigan, I think it'll take them a couple of quarters to get the motor going.
Yeah, that's going to be an interesting game. I think Michigan's just waiting to lose another bad one. So
we talked about it. Kyle, we kind of mentioned that maybe we see 3 or 4 losses on that schedule.
Michigan has, this is not easy.
Top 10 team, like.
At Washington and at Illinois back-to-back here. And then in a couple weeks, they got Oregon at home and at Indiana, which has not turned into an easy game all of a sudden. Indiana is now ranked 23. They're 5-0. And then, they got Ohio State finishing off the year.
Do you see what Indiana's coach said? He goes, I win. You can look it up on Google. Yeah, that's what I do.
Cognetti.
He goes, look me up on Google. I win.
Good for him.
I know,
and
dude.
See, he sent like a school-wide email to the student body saying, we need you to fill the stadium.
Yeah. Dude, it's been a disgrace there for years.
That would fire me up.
Would you go?
Coach, I'm going.
Would you be there?
Yeah. If coach asked me to on the email, yeah, I think I would. I'd give coach credit.
If a
team that never wins, yeah.
If Luke Fickell reached out.
No, it's different.
Why?
Because Cognetti has swagger. There's an identity there. Fickell is a phony.
No, he's not.
He's a
You need 3 years.
I will do that.
I'm going to defend my own. I like Luke Fickell.
I don't. I'm not a Fickell guy. He lost that lock. Did you see what Braylon Allen tweeted after the game on Saturday?
I didn't. What did he say?
Wisconsin had that terrible loss at USC.
Yep.
Braylon Allen said, who played under Fickell, said, now, I'm going to hold my tongue for now, essentially. I'm going to paraphrase it as best I can. I'm going to hold my tongue for now, but eventually I'm going to get in front of some podcast equipment, and I'm going to really tell you what was going on in that locker room last year.
Oh, God. He did. So you're telling me Fickell has no...
That was the read.
He just says the players are running things, probably, and...
That was the read. 888-760-3776, the number to get into the program. That's
888-760-3776. You haven't... Iowa and Ohio State, we haven't... You haven't... I picked...
You're high. We took Ohio State.
Because I'm a homer. It's a return home game. It's a return home game for a few players for Iowa. You know, Ferentz recruits the kids in Ohio that don't get the Ohio State and the Michigan offers. Caleb Johnson from Hamilton, Ohio, which is pretty close to Columbus. He's had a good year. Yeah. He's got almost 700 yards on the ground, 9 touchdowns. I wonder if Ohio State is going to be able to stop the run in this game. I wonder if the defense is not going to be able to leak some yards early on. But, Colin, I think they should cover 19.5. Iowa, I know they're 3-1 and their only loss came to their rival against Iowa State. But I'm very confident. I swear this isn't me just being a homer. I'm very confident that Ohio State will be able to move the ball and do some good things on the offensive
line. I think Ohio State's due for a bit of an explosion. I agree with you on that sense. Shifting to the baseball side of things, just an update on Kodai Senga going to be starting. Coming back for since July 26th, he hasn't pitched. Going to be it's a fascinating decision by manager Carlos Mendoza, number one. But two, it's a gutsy call. The Mets are trying to ride on a sense of that mojo, that magic. And phone lines are open, 888-760-3776. We're going to shift to Luke from New York, who called in last week about the Mets. Luke, are you with us? What's going on?
I'm right here. Hey, guys. How you doing? Thank you for having me on again.
Right.
How about the Mets? Whoa.
All right, Luke, let's start with the story really quick. Actually, let's go with last night, and then I want to ask you about Senga. Go right ahead.
So I texted every single Mets fan I knew all day leading up to the game. Pete has to be the one tonight. I got text receipts for it all. And then every moment he went up, he went just with one swing, and he kept falling through. It was just Lindor all night. It was a mess. I had given up. Then some veteran at-bats by Lindor followed by Nimmo to get us
that,
to
that Nimmo at-bat was so underrated.
Ball.
That Nimmo at-bat, so underrated. 0-2, one in the gap.
It was amazing. And did you see he lost his grandmother right before the game. And yeah. Didn't tell anybody.
Yep.
Oh, man. Great. I love Nimmo. I love all those guys.
So now, Alonso does this. Oh. And what's the read on Alonso now? All of a sudden, I was ready for Alonso to take off the Met uniform, never put it back on again. All of a sudden, he gets that hit in the top of the ninth. What's our perspective on him as a Met fan?
I never gave up on Alonso. It was a tough year. A lot of empty stats. I mean, he had 30-88, I think. But, I mean, it's Pete. Like, Francisco's a superstar. Pete's a franchise player. There's value in that, man. When Pete gets up, this team is behind him. And now it's the Phillies? I mean, come on. You can't write better than this. And for baseball itself, they got some great series coming up. But, oh, man. And Pete hit that ball. I didn't think that was going anywhere near. Oh, but he knew the whole time. He screamed right away. You can't write better than that. And then to finish off the game, you bring in Peterson, and then Lindor with the double play, doing it all himself. I was like, what is he doing? Why is he running with that? It was ridiculous. But he got it. That's the Mets though. And they got out hit all three games in that series. It did not look pretty, but they figured it out.
Luke,
this is a team that can win.
Luke, true or false? You were ready to be done with Pete Alonso before the home run.
If he doesn't hit that home run, it would have been his last at bat with the Mets. And his legacy is pretty much nothing. I mean, Pete didn't have the big hit. He finally got it.
Now, Luke, last thing here after that Met series, after that game, that the triumphant victory. After sort of the dust settled a bit, the question turns is who are the Mets going to go with to start on the mound against Zach Wheeler in Philadelphia on Saturday? It came out, of course, that Kodai Senga, a guy who's pitched 5 innings all year, hasn't pitched since July, a guy who definitely has the best stuff amongst the starting rotation, but this is nonetheless a very gutsy decision. Number one, I know it was a tough spot because they pitched Peterson a little bit. You probably could have went with him or McGill. What is your takeaway? Senge coming back. Mendoza going with him to start the game. Probably only going a couple innings, but what's your reaction to that last thing before we let you go?
I got to quote Mendoza. It's big boy time. That's it. Plain and simple.
Really? So what
big boy?
If he comes in and gets banged around a little bit and he's out after two innings, you're not going to be pissed off at Mendoza?
Oh, I'm going to be furious. it's a gutsy call. And that's what this team's been doing all year. I mean, last night, Buto on one day's rest when the numbers say do not play him like that. But, hey, they've been getting wins. I mean, this is a team that can find a way to win baseball games. That's all that matters.
How sweet would it be, you know, with the Phillies being a rival and everything, how sweet would this one taste?
More than anything. I went to Penn State. All of my friends are Phillies fans. I would like nothing better than to just have them cry the tears of this amazing season they had, all to get finished off by the little old Mets.
All right, Luke, I appreciate the call. Great job, as always. That was Luke in New York, who's a big diehard Mets fan, playing on the mojo, loves Alonso now, ready for Kodai Senga to take down the Phillies. That's the Mets optimism.
That's what you need. That's the magic. That's the magic that you need.
That's
right?
The optimism that we needed. Yeah, that's what the Mets do, and I give them credit. And now it seems like everybody's drinking the Kool-Aid.
They're banking on a little bippity boppity boo.
Everybody's drinking the Kool-Aid now. I'm drinking the Kool-Aid. I'm in.
When's that pumpkin striking midnight? When is it striking midnight for Cinderella? I know that's more or less a March Madness term, yeah. But I mean seriously, when's the pumpkin taking Cinderella home?
I don't know.
Little bippity boppity.
You can't talk like that. You can't talk like that. You got to keep it. If anything, this is like.
But like, who are they?
Is this a game at a time?
Reason I'm asking, Luke does not sound afraid of the Phillies. And fair play to him.
Are the Phillies afraid of the Mets?
No. The Phillies. Let me put you in the shoes of the Phillies. The Phillies have proved that they could win a playoff series and go deep into the playoffs. The Mets have to prove that. Agreed?
The Mets
have to prove that still.
Do the Phillies have a bit of pressure on them to get over the hump? I think there's pressure as the Yankees and the Dodgers, of course, but there's pressure there because they haven't gotten it done.
In my opinion, there's pressure to win game one. I think there's pressure to win game one for the Phillies. If the Phillies lose game one, I think they're in trouble.
Yeah.
Because then they got to steal one in New York.
It's the Wheeler game. So if they're going to get past the Wheeler game, but I think that Citi Field is going to be rocking.
I'm trying to think, to your point, Colin, Wheeler, what's the last good pitcher the Mets faced?
What, this postseason?
Peralta. Peralta, Freed. Are they on the level of Wheeler?
No, Wheeler, of course.
That's what I mean.
It's him and Sale.
And Peralta, partner. But he's such a relies so much on strikeouts and punchouts. Peralta gives up runs. What I'm saying is, if the Mets go out there and shell Wheeler and hit Wheeler, I'm calling Cinderella and telling her we're staying out past midnight.
I see. The thing about that is the Mets haven't done that. I'd be had a hard time thinking that they're gonna, if they keep it 0-0 with Wheeler, then they're gonna rely on some heroics late in the game. That's what the Mets have been doing. A resilient bunch. That's going to be the game plan. Survive through six, whether it's with Senga and McGill or Senga and Peterson. Survive through six or seven. Get Wheeler out. Then let the magic come. Let the dust set. Let the dust hit us. Mojo theme. New York Mets. The Miracle Mets. We continue the program. Close it out on a Friday. Send you off into the weekend. Next, it's Russo and Rizzo live here, ESPN 106.3.
Let's get back to the Anajar and Levine Accident Attorney Studios. This is Russo and Rizzo on ESPN
106.3. Weekend coming up, week five of the NFL, week six of college football. Big weekend of college football next weekend. A lot of teams on bye. But nonetheless, a couple interesting matchups. Of course, Oregon, Michigan State in Eugene tonight. On top of that, UNLV, the story with Matt Sluka leaving the program due to NIL dispute. They're taking on Syracuse at home. tonight, 9 p.m. on FS1. That's also an interesting game.
A lot of people think that they're going to be the group of five team, even without Saluka.
Yeah, because they kicked the crap out of Fresno State last week. They're now 4-0. Yep.
I still think Boise.
I agree. I think it's Boise's to lose. But that UNLV, I think they're playing with a little bit of mojo, too.
Yep.
Theme is that has been the theme of them. Well, but now, they going to run out of are they going to run out of gas now?
You know I feel like they rallied around that whole Saluka situation.
And now
too,
is
probably,
it, when
right?
the dust settles there, yeah. when everything kind of calms down a little bit, and you're playing a pretty good team in Syracuse, how are you going to handle?
And we got that tonight.
That's at 9 p.m.
Okay, yeah, Kyle McCord, former Ohio State quarterback, by the way, slinging it for Syracuse. You've seen his numbers, pretty good. I think he might. If he continues to play that way, Colin, he might be like a third or a fourth round pick and have a cup of tea.
Really?
With another. I'm telling you, dude, he's slinging it. And I'm not surprised. I just thought there was too much pressure on him last year. With that team, Maserati, Marvin Harrison, you know, everyone watching. Let's not get it twisted, though. He single-handedly blew the Michigan game.
Yeah.
He threw an interception early in the game, which turned into seven.
Ohio
and then,
State needs a star. They don't need a game right. manager. They need a star.
And Colin, I think this is the thing no one wants to talk about in Buckeye Nation. I don't think Will Howard is a star. I think he is more closer to Kyle McCord than a C.J. Stroud or a Justin Fields.
Yeah.
Sucks, dude. I think that's what will hold us back.
Ohio State, is it a matter of do they need a star? Or like Michigan's the one that needs a game manager, essentially. But Ohio State sort of needs a star because they have so much talent on the outside.
Yeah, with Igbuka, with Jeremiah Smith, Carnell Tate. I mean, everywhere you look, there's a five-star receiver.
Yeah. Interesting. Are you nervous in any sense that Ohio State is going to drop a game, whether it be to Oregon or Michigan?
Yeah, I'm deathly afraid to play Oregon. I'm deathly afraid to play Penn State. I can't believe I'm saying that. I don't know how Will Howard is going to react when the pressure is on. Does that make sense, Colin? The pressure has not been on for the Buckeyes yet. The pressure was on a tad bit against Michigan State when they were up 3-0 and it was third and whatever, and he threw an interception on the sideline. And he should have threw another interception in the back of the end zone. Thank God the Michigan State player dropped it. The Buckeyes score on fourth down. So, and lastly, I know we're talking a lot about the Ohio State. Lastly, okay, the defense got a lot of takeaways against Michigan State. But Sparty, on all those takeaways, they crossed midfield and they were going in for points. Colin, I think a team like Oregon with a good offense and one of the best quarterbacks in the country, Dylan Gabriel, that's seven, bro. So that's what I'm worried about.
It's on the road. They're not comfortable with that type of road trip. It's nothing familiar to them. I think you might see that.
If the Buckeyes lose to Penn State and Oregon and beat Michigan, I don't think they go to the Big Ten Championship, and I don't think they get into the playoff. They have to win one of those games, and they can't lose any others.
Penn State would have that bid.
Yeah, and well, Penn State's got to go to USC still. We'll see what happens there.
Yeah, but they have an easier schedule.
Exactly. We put the Buckeyes will put their destiny in other teams in the Big Ten in their hands, and then all of a sudden you don't have a good win. They must win one of those games, and they can only afford to lose one of those games. They got to split.
Florida State. Home against Clemson tomorrow.
That spread's low. 14.5. I would hammer Clemson. I'm honestly upset we didn't take Clemson. Did we take Clemson?
No, we did not.
I'm upset we didn't take Clemson.
It's a popular pick.
I don't know what the... I mean, that's probably why.
Why? It's probably why we didn't pick him. I honestly don't remember talking about this, so I'm not sure.
We talked about it with Fat Jack, and I talked about it with our...
And he liked Clemson.
Yeah, he did. And I talked about it with our program director and boss, Brian Rowitz, who's a Florida State fan. He goes, Riz, I agree with Fat Jack. That spread is low. So maybe we missed out on the boat.
They just lost 42-16 to SMU.
I'm interested. Do you, and I'm sorry to put you on the spot here, do you have their picks? I want to see who they pick.
Yes, I do have their
picks. Please, while you pull them up, I'm interested to see where their head's at this weekend. Because I'd be shocked if we didn't see that game.
They went
on there.
Big NFL this week. So they got their lock.
That's good for us. Hang on, that's good for us.
Yeah, they took the Saints as their lock plus 5.5 against Kansas City.
Wow. That's a howler. That's a howler.
They took the Ravens minus 2.5.
I said, that's in Cincinnati?
Yeah.
Watch Cincy win that game.
Yeah, you got to
split. Watch Cincy win that game.
You're thinking about a split. Browns plus 3.
I hate it. So that's good for us.
Texans plus 1.
Remember, I told you I like the Bills.
Yeah, okay. They took Michigan State, that's tonight, plus 23.5.
Oh, God.
I don't hate that one.
Against Oregon?
I don't hate
Where
that
is
one.
It?
It's in Eugene, but it's
Oh,
tonight.
Man.
Something's weird about a Friday night
They're
game.
They're going to, hey, well, we're going to get, Eugene's going to,
You think they're going to pound them?
Blow the doors off.
I don't know. We'll be,
you know, I'll put it up on our laptop when we have some time for high school tonight. But, yeah.
You like that one?
I like Oregon. I like Oregon to cover that spread.
Easy. Okay. Interesting. All right. I'm surprised by that.
I mean, let's put it for face value.
What did
the Buckeyes win by? They won 37-7. They won by 30.
Yeah.
So if Oregon, and they won on the road, if Oregon is on the level of the Buckeyes, I think they should easily win that game.
Anything can happen, but I understand. It's a matter of catching them on an off night.
Right, but I like that they took plus 28.5. I like it.
They took Arkansas plus 13.5 home against Tennessee. Tennessee off a bye. Arkansas dangerous, but also coming off a bye.
I kind of like that pick in a sense of, remember when Nico I went to Oklahoma? Colin, they settled for a lot of field goals. He played well. He had a touchdown in the game, but they weren't able to get into the end zone.
Yeah. Arkansas might be a little dangerous, but so we'll see. I don't hate that one either, but Tennessee off a bye, maybe they're going to come
out and explode a little bit. I like two out of the three of their college picks. Colin, I don't like any of their NFL picks.
Yeah.
I can't lie. I don't like, and maybe that'll be the difference if they do better than us, because I don't like any of the NFL teams they
pick. What we're talking about is our punchline picks, where Mike and I and Russo and Rizzo will go against, theoretically speaking, Theo Dorsey and Christian Catt, 2v2, where as a group we make 6 picks a week. One is a lock worth double. It has to be a mix of college and the NFL, and we're going to track our record throughout the entire season. And the losers have to go out and give a stand-up routine at a comedy club that is yet to be announced. And the records of both of us right now sitting at 12-16 on the year. So their picks, of course, Saints plus 5.5, Ravens minus 2.5, Browns plus 3 against the Commanders, Texans against the Bills plus 1, Michigan State at Eugene, Oregon tonight taking on the Ducks plus 23.5, and Arkansas, of course, taking on Tennessee at home. Tennessee is coming off a bye plus 13. So that's interesting. And our side of things, just to revamp everybody, is we took the Patriots as our lock against the Miami Dolphins minus 1. I thought this was a layup, but maybe I'm wrong. Maybe betting on the Patriots is not a good idea. Giants upset of the week plus 6.5 at Seattle. Like that.
New York Mojo.
Buy in.
The problem is Neighbors is out, and I probably wouldn't have taken it. And I guess that's why we're not professional gamblers. I probably wouldn't have taken it if I knew Neighbors was out, but who knows, Colin? Who knows?
Cowboys plus 2.5, Sunday Night Football at Pittsburgh. Like that pick, too.
Love this one.
So we're riding with Ohio State, of course. They're taking on Iowa.
19.5 at home at the Shoe.
Navy's at Air Force. Navy's been good all year. Minus 10. Air Force stinks. I know it's an Armed Forces Bowl, so those are always
also
get tricky, but I like that.
Couple of people hooting and hollering a bit that one of the Armed Force Academies could be a college football playoff team this year in the group of 5.
Yep. Toledo, minus 6.5.
This was our MAC pick. This was our MAC pick. 6.5. We're trusting in the Maumee River, the Miami Redhawks. Okay? If you want to tail us on this, hear me out. The Miami Redhawks only beat UMass by 3. Okay? UMass is awful. One of the worst programs in the country. Give me Toledo, who's angry that they blew the game at Western Kentucky after a 3. Hey, Colin, you listening? After a 3.5-hour weather delay, being up 2 scores.
You need a bounce back here.
I like it.
Okay.
That's theme. That's mojo.
Padres general manager AJ Preller has officially announced that Joe Musgrove has a UCL injury in his throwing elbow. Will need Tommy John surgery, so he's going to be out for the remainder of this playoffs.
He's
going to be out for the entirety of next year, and it will be. Remains to be seen whether he'll be prepared for 2026.
I'm not a Musgrove guy. I told you that before.
Mike, I just told you that he's not going to pitch for the next 18 months. And you're not a Musgrove.
But a lot of people are saying, a lot of people are going, this is going to be detrimental to the Padres.
I don't think the guy's going to play for the next 18 months. Give the guy a break.
But all right, I guess it was in poor taste. All right, I hope he gets okay. I know he's a great person. Yeah. But hear me out on this. The reason I said that was a lot of people are going, now the Padres don't have a big 3 at the starting pitching rotation. I don't think that matters. I think they're a hot enough team right now. I know we hoot and holler about theme and mojo here, but like that's what they are. The Padres and the Mets have that. The Detroit Tigers, they have that. So you still got Michael King. You still got Dylan Cease. I think they're fine.
I still think they're okay as well, but Musgrove has seen a lot of success with the Padres so far. He had a good year last year. This year is a little bit more up and down. Nonetheless, he needs UCL surgery. He will be out for the foreseeable future. Here's a stat for you as well. Mets last night averaged 4 million viewers, peaked at 5.7 in that Met-Brewer game last night. Game 3, the highest rated wild card matchup under the new format and the highest rated ESPN property MLB game since 2021. Football did 12.3 million on the ratings. That's a great rating for baseball.
It is.
For a Mets, the little brother franchise of New York with the Brewers, which is not a big franchise.
I mean, that outdid a couple of finals games, NBA finals
absolutely.
Games. You know?
And MLB does well when you give a good product. They're going to do a good rating. I root for the MLB to get good ratings, but people tune in when there's baseball and, worth tuning into.
Guys, I would rather 10 days on Sunday, 10 days on Saturday, I rather watch baseball than basketball right now. It's not even close for me, honest to God.
College hoops, big game, might be a different story for me, but
I'm talking NBA. I'm sorry. Specifically NBA. I am a college basketball.
Good for the Mets. Good for ESPN there. They did a good rating. And there was a football game direct in competition with that on Amazon Prime, and they still did 5.7. That's pretty good.
Oh yeah. They're
MLB's gotta be happy about that.
They're running home with that. You're telling me 12 million people turned into Amazon?
Yeah. And they get like 15 million last week.
That's why. Dude, like that is exactly why the NFL is bulletproof, as you call it.
Yeah.
It don't matter on.
And it's weird because the Sunday game 4 o'clock is their that's the death one. That's the best one they got. That they do 28 million a week, and it's absurd how much the ratings the NFL gets. And they did a good game. It was on Amazon Prime, 12 million people. It's usually 15, but that tells you that people tuned into the Mets. Give me that. Good for
the
MLB.
They paywalled it. You paywall it, and you know
people will pay. It's a Friday edition of Russo and Rizzo, sending you over to the weekend. No Christian Cat behind the glass. You can hear him next on ESPN West Palm High School game day. Joaquin Garcia taking on Wellington. You'll hear me as well, starting at 6 with the pregame up until all the way to the postgame at 11. Catch up on YouTube tonight with Kate Chumsley and myself, Brian Roth. We're breaking down the area high school sports games, giving you a full rundown of what happened in Palm Beach County and Treasure Coast. You can hear me and Kate Chumsley, the aforementioned Kate Chumsley, on Sunday Huddle. Early one, 8 a.m. on Sunday, previewing the NFL slate, going right up until 9:15. Then you're going to hear Jets-Vikings. Thanks to Mike Rizzo for filling in for CCAP behind the glass. He'll be with us, too, in the next couple hours. You'll see us back on Monday. It's Russo and Rizzo on ESPN 106.3.